So it's good to see you folks. We're going to get started here in just a few minutes. Welcome. Good to see you. Welcome. I will be again starting in just a minute. Make yourself comfortable. We're just getting settled in, and we'll start meditation in just maybe 2 or 3 minutes. So for you folks that are already here joining me in the space, welcome. It's good to see you. And just an invitation to get settled in. We're going to start with a sit. It could be useful before starting meditation to just take a few minutes to get comfortable, find a comfortable position. It could take some getting used to sit in front of a computer screen or a phone. So just paying attention to posture. Sometimes there's a tendency to slouch or scrunch to kind of be able to see the screen. So, yeah, just checking yourself, make sure you're comfortable. If you need more cushions or change your position, this would be a good opportunity to just to make those adjustments, to make yourself comfortable. So. So, so just taking your seat. And let's take a minute to just check in with the body from the inside. So to just sweep through the body and just check in, perhaps noticing points of contact, places where the body is supported by the cushion or the chair, to get a sense of presence with body contact. And as you sweep through the body, just noticing if there's places where there might be some residual tightness or holding or tension. Perhaps there's emotional energy that is held on to in maybe the face or the neck or the shoulders, or could be the chest or the belly, places where we tend to hold tension. So sometimes just noticing, just paying attention carefully is enough for things to soften, to release a little bit. So just noticing, paying careful attention, offering kindness to this body. And if you're noticing any tension or constriction as you breathe or any place in the body, just an invitation here to deepen the breath, maybe for two or three consecutive breaths. So just experiencing the breath like a massage from the inside, just inviting things to soften, to release. To offer the breath as a messenger of kindness. Just offering this invitation for things to relax, to actually let go into the present moment. So in the context of this virtual Sangha, it's helpful to remember that there are many other people practicing with us at the same time. Even if we're not in the same physical space, we can share this space in presence. And so we're creating a sacred space with our presence here together. So see if you can take that as a point of reference, this invitation into presence, this invitation to practice kindness. And just bringing our energies together this evening, I'd like to invite us to start with a chant. And this will be just a very simple chant, no words to remember, just a sound to produce, and the sound is going to be Om. And so we'll just do that together for about a minute or so, and then I'll ring the bell, and it'll be time to do some kind of deepening into mindful presence. But let's just bring our voices together. We can use the sound of as a shared mindfulness object to bring our energies together. Oh. Ooh. And as we start this period of practice together this evening, I'd like to invite us to reflect for a few moments on taking refuge. These times that we're living in are full of challenges and places for us to get scared, to get frightened, to feel uncertainty, to feel the surreal nature of change. So taking refuge can be an important practice. So the invitation is to take refuge in our own Buddha nature, in our capacity to be awake in this moment, to be present with the way things are, to take refuge in the Dharma, to take refuge in the truth, the direct experience of things. That includes the Eightfold Path, the Four Noble Truths. So taking refuge in the direct experience of truth. And then taking refuge in the Sangha. Such an important thing, such a precious thing in these difficult times. So it's taking refuge in our interbeing, our interconnectedness. Both this community that's gathered here this evening as we share this practice, but taking refuge in the interconnectedness of life. So taking this as the foundation, the touchstone for our practice. And then taking it into this very personal experience of this body that sits here in this moment. This experience of pressure, warmth, coldness, tingling. This energy bundle that we refer to as the body that sits here. So starting with refuge in the capacity to be awake to this this process of life in this moment. And with the focus on the embodied experience of breathing. So taking the experience of the breath in this moment as the touchstone, as the place where we can calm this this consciousness, and we can cultivate concentration. And so the experience of the embodied breath could be with the rising and falling of the belly, or perhaps the expansion and contraction of the chest, or maybe the touch of the breath at the tip of the nostrils. So there's these wonderful places in the body that are anchors, that are invitations for us to stay present. So with this practice, the invitation is to work with the momentum of conditioning that pulls us into thinking, into commentary, judgment, thinking about the past, the future, to remember that there's a breath that's happening in this moment, and to remember with kindness, to remember with forgiveness, with mercy, so that this is a practice that's done without any coercion. It's just waking up in this moment, returning to our Buddha nature, to this breath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just a reminder that this practice is fundamentally about being present with whatever's happening, and being here with radical acceptance. So if there's agitation or restlessness, that's what's happening. If there's calm and peace, that's what's happening. If there's irritation, joy, doubt, sleepiness, whatever is happening in this moment is an invitation to make room in our awareness for things just as they are, with the breath as our anchor right here in the center, helping us to remember that we have this capacity to be awake. This is the practice of taking refuge in this moment. The body touches the chair, the cushion. There's contact and awareness. there's aliveness that's happening. So if the breath is difficult to stay with for whatever reason, maybe there's constriction or congestion, you can experiment with other parts of the body, or you can try placing the hand on the belly or the chest. Or you can also do a little noting practice with the in-breath, just silently saying in, with the out-breath out. So really practicing to make it easier to stay with the breath, being gentle with yourself if you're finding any challenges. So try not to tense up. This isn't about struggle or tensing, it's about relaxing into presence. Just returning or directly experiencing the preciousness of this breath, the embodied experience of breathing. This practice can be just receiving the breath as a messenger of kindness, as an invitation to soften and accept whatever's happening in this moment. So there's the opportunity to work with sound. And with this practice, there aren't any distractions. There's just opportunities to be present with what's happening. So in just a moment, the bell is going to ring. There's this opportunity to take this transition as a transition in presence. So we take mindfulness with us into the next practice. And to notice the state of mind and body that's transitioning. So what's really present in this moment? What stands out? And to take that most predominant object in the body, perhaps as a present moment reference point. It could be the breath, that's what we've been focusing on or coming back to as our primary object, but there could be something else that stands out. So just noticing what that might be. Or perhaps it's more a mental emotional state that is more predominant. So noticing what that might be. And then staying fully present for this transition. It's a pleasure to see all of you folks here this evening and to do this practice with you. On Thursday evenings in the group at BIMC, I like to do a check-in, just an opportunity for a brief bit of sharing from who'd ever like to share. So it's just a momentary, what's happening in this moment, what's up? And it's totally optional. Don't have to say a word if you don't want to. And at PNMC, we're normally sitting in some semblance of a circle. So we just go around the circle. But this evening, I think we'll just do more kind of a popcorn style. And I'll start, actually, just to kind of set the stage. And this is also a mindfulness practice. This is an opportunity to be present with listening, with speaking, noticing the intention if we choose to speak, just notice what comes up. So, also, the invitation is not to engage in crosstalk during this particular process. So let's share and give each person the opportunity to share with clear space. So I guess it's clear that my name is Doug. I am finding this to be a very nourishing refuge for me in the midst of the surreal kind of turmoil that's happening in the world. And it's such a privilege and an honor to share it. So thank you for joining me in this practice this evening. Oh, One thing I forgot to share is that we indicate that we're finished with our sharing by just doing a bow. So would anyone else like to share just briefly, just do a check-in? Yes, good to see you. Thank you. Thank you. Is there more sharing that would like to happen at this point? Anybody else? Okay. So I'm going to share a Dharma reflection, and then I hope there'll be some time towards the end for questions or discussion. So this evening, I wanted to talk about a part of the Buddhist teaching called clear comprehension, which is comes out of the four foundations of mindfulness, and it's part of the first foundation, which is mindfulness of the body. So, and it seems to me to be pretty important in this time that we're living in. because it's about mindfulness in all things. So it's expanding our practice beyond the sitting cushion, beyond our formal meditation practice. Now, formal meditation practice during this time is really important. It's the incubator, it's the cultivator of this quality of presence that we're talking about. But it's just as important to practice it in daily life activities. And particularly now, it's a life and death issue in terms of really being present with what we're doing, to really attend to our actions, to be clear about what our intention is, and to act from the chosen intention, to act from our deepest values and beliefs. So the Buddha taught that from birth, each of us has an instinctive gentleness towards others, a desire to protect people around us, to protect them from a harm. There's a willingness to make sacrifices to help even strangers. I've talked to many people this week actually who are doing this, who are in helping professions or who are doing volunteer work that puts them in potentially dangerous situations. And so that's a testament to this quality of instinctive compassion that's part of our human nature that often doesn't get noticed, doesn't get celebrated. But it comes out at times like this. And so that can be the guiding principle, and it can be done with wisdom, with skillfulness. And it's also practicing self-compassion. For some of us, going out and serving others is dangerous. It doesn't make any sense. So self-quarantine, social distancing, to keep ourselves safe. So it's using wisdom to determine what's the most skillful course of action that for us to practice compassion. So it's the balance between compassion to others and compassion for ourselves. And in this practice, the realization ultimately is there's no difference. In practicing compassion, we find that place where it's just us. There aren't any others. So the practice of clear comprehension is to take that remembering that comes from sitting on our cushion to our daily life. We could think of this COVID-19, this pandemic that we're experiencing, as a kind of maha retreat or great retreat, which we're all invited to participate in some form. It's really inviting us to pay much more careful attention to what we're doing in the world, what we're doing at home. To make each action something that's sacred, that's mindful. And I'm looking at this as a perfect time for me, to whatever degree I can, to create a retreat time. I'm still working. I'm seeing patients and clients through the same technology that we're gathering here this evening. But in the space in between, I'm taking this as an opportunity to really deepen my practice, to look for those opportunities that, for example, those 20 seconds of hand washing can be done with as a mindfulness practice, can be done as an opportunity to practice something that's sacred, practicing self-compassion in washing these hands. So in this endeavor to be awake, it's to notice those opportunities as we go through the day. It's actually a coming back home. Coming back home to our ourselves, coming back home to our intention. There's a quote from the Buddhist teaching. This is from the Satipatthana Sutra. He said, "Monks, when going forward and returning, one acts clearly knowing. When looking ahead and looking away, one acts clearly knowing. When flexing and extending one's limbs, one acts clearly knowing. When eating, drinking, consuming food, and tasting, one acts clearly knowing. When defecating and urinating, one acts clearly knowing. When walking, standing, sitting, falling down, falling asleep, walking, talking, keeping silent, one acts clearly knowing." So, mindfulness in daily life activities, taking these opportunities, perhaps slowing down a little bit. So, clear comprehension is the equivalent of clarity of consciousness or clear awareness. You might wonder, so what's the difference between mindfulness and clear comprehension? So mindfulness is a skill of mental training, and the center of this practice of insight that we do, clear comprehension, is an insight knowledge from practicing mindfulness. So clear comprehension is a fruit of mindfulness practice. And so it's clear consciousness for any given activity in daily life. So it's focused on daily life activities. So if it's a physical action, a speech, thinking, it's the application of mindfulness in daily life activities. You could think of it as the generalization of practice into every nook and cranny of life. Ultimately nothing is excluded. Everything gets included in this practice. And the imperative of safety with COVID-19 kind of helps to provide a little extra motivation. And remember, mindfulness isn't tensing up. It's not coming from a place of anxiety. In fact, it's about relaxing into presence. So this is a relaxed comprehension of what's happening in the present moment. So focusing on the body is a very useful foundation. That's why it's the first foundation of mindfulness. And so knowing what posture we're in, knowing whether we're sitting, standing, or walking, or lying down, is kind of the first step in terms of clear comprehension. So if you're just starting to expand your practice into daily life, you could start with one of those. You could start with knowing when you stand that you're standing. Or walking, knowing that you're walking. It doesn't even have to be like formal walking meditation. It could just be making a mental note, walking, walking, or stepping, stepping. So it's starting to create that expansion of presence. That quality of knowing into the movement of the body. So we take it with us wherever we go. And it leads, as we deepen into practice, into more profound realizations. But we start with the simple and the mundane. We start with the everyday things, folding laundry, brushing teeth, washing dishes. Those are all good, simple activities to take as mindfulness practices, as a foundation. So the Buddha talked about clear comprehension in four different domains. The first is purpose. The second is suitability. The third is domain of awareness. And the fourth is non-delusion. So I'm going to go into and talk about each of those a little bit, just to give you a sense of how this works. So the first one, purpose, clear comprehension of purpose, is what's the purpose or intention for us doing whatever it is we're doing? Not to be confused with goal setting or outcome. And this comes from Joseph Goldstein. He said, when we clearly comprehend the purpose and benefits of our actions, we open the possibility to making wiser choices. Where is this action leading? Do I want to go there? Just to give you an example of this, I was talking with someone this week. I know I'm not supposed to touch my face, but there, I just noticed it after the fact. I talked with someone this week who is struggling with a bit of a dilemma. He had plans to take a trip down to Southern California that he'd been looking forward to for over a year and saving money for. And he works in a healthcare facility. And even though he's young, he's at risk of being contagious. So trying to struggle with these, there's this desire to really do this thing, to see people that he wanted to see. Looking at his bigger intention, his purpose was not to do harm, not to cause harm. So letting go of that decision, you know, it can be a struggle when we get attached to things. So working with that. So the practice of being present in our activities and noticing our intention, to see where our intention is coming from. Is it coming from greed, from clinging, from anger, from ill will, confusion? Or is it coming from love, compassion, wisdom, acting as with a skillful intention? So to really pause and notice, there's an invitation to do that. So in this practice of noticing our body, contemplating taking an action, we can be aware of where we're coming from. What's my intention? So, and then the second part of clear comprehension is suitability. And it involves reflecting upon the appropriateness of each activity that we're thinking about. So, for example, our intentions might be skillful, but we need to determine whether or not our intended actions are in harmony with the current circumstance. So, for example, we might want to meditate, but one of our family members needs our attention. In this day, in these times, with lots of people being at home from work and school, there's a lot more kind of sharing of the same space. So we might have to make some compromise and accommodation. So with meditation, that might be a really wise thing to do in general, but it wouldn't be the compassionate thing to do if our partner really needs us to help them do a task that they can't do themselves that needs to be done. And so there might need to be some negotiation there. And suitability is also making sure that our activities are morally wholesome and suitable for what we want to achieve in terms of our spiritual practice. And so looking at, how we're choosing to spend our time, does this fit with the direction I want to go in my life? So choosing a job that gives us enough time to meditate and avoid associating with people who cause harm to themselves or others. Practicing right speech, refraining from conversations that cause distress. In this case, I think I'd also think about, someone shared about kind of titrating or limiting exposure to the news. Can be about suitability. It's important to be informed, of course, but at a certain point, we can kind of go OCD on the news intake. And so really checking out what is our intention for listening or watching the news. Is it, we're going into this sort of trance state, this sort of news junkie state, or are we really practicing in a way that we're getting the information we need and then turning it off and going and doing something else? So, and then the third part of clear comprehension is to notice the domain of awareness. This refers to extending the scope or range of mindfulness into every aspect of our lives. So it means approaching each activity in which we are engaged with a question. How can I be present in this moment? How can I do this with presence? So and the invitation is to ultimately not have any hidden areas of our lives where we're avoiding really noticing what our intention is, or sort of hidden or shadowy aspects. And these areas sometimes include eating habits, sexual behaviors, fantasies, those kinds of things. So bringing those really into the light of awareness, to have clarity. And then the fourth and final aspect of clear comprehension is clear comprehension of non-delusion. And this involves recognizing the selfless nature of our moment-to-moment experience. So, of all of our kind of distorted views, the most difficult one is the belief in a separate permanent self. Although COVID-19 is making that harder to hold on to if we're awakening, because it's pretty clear and getting clearer every day, we're inexorably interlinked. We share the same air. We use the same spaces. So holding on to the delusion of a separate self is becoming more challenging. And perhaps the delusion, the clinging, can grow stronger in some, but we don't have to go that direction. We can see this as an invitation to recognize our interbeing, our interconnectedness. So clear comprehension of non-delusion works to eliminate this deep-seated misperception and replace it with the realization of interconnectedness, of interbeing. And the other thing about non-delusion in clear comprehension is that we recognize the utter impermanence of everything. That's the other thing that COVID-19 and all of the ripple effects of change have really brought home to me is, and I think Robert used this in a recent talk, the utter impermanence of things. Things are huge. Changes are happening. And so to not be in delusion of the permanent nature of things. So as we engage in daily life activities, we can recognize their impermanent nature. We can ask the question, do I truly know that this activity is impermanent, unable to provide lasting satisfaction? And there is no self here, really, fundamentally doing this. There's a continuity of experience, a collection of memories and experience that's here. But there really, is there a solid self that is unchanging? So just to kind of summarize here, how can we practice or practically apply clear comprehension to our daily lives? So first is when we meditate, we can reflect on the four aspects of clear comprehension. What's my purpose? What's the suitability? What's the domain? And non-delusion. And then off our cushion, we can apply these four aspects to our daily life activities and see if the activity is in line with our spiritual values, with our aspiration for compassion, loving kindness. So just to break it down even a bit more concrete, before doing an activity, we can ask, is my intention skillful or unskillful? That's purpose. Is it useful? That's suitability. Am I following the practice of non-attachment, of non-addiction? That would be the domain. Do I know that this activity is impermanent, unable to provide lasting satisfaction, and is of a selfless nature? That's non-delusion. So this practice, just to kind of tie it back together, creates the conditions for insight, which is the pathway to freedom. Freedom, joy, peace. So the practice of clear comprehension, taking practice into daily life like this, can really strengthen and deepen our practice. So I'd like to check in and see if any of you folks here would like to share how you're adapting your practice to these changing times. If you have any questions about practice, clear comprehension. So, I'm really curious to hear. Good to see you. Welcome. There's a kind of lull in sharing, and I'm gonna need to wrap up here soon. Anybody have any last thing you'd like to share or question before we move towards closing? Okay. Yes. Yes. Oh. Wonderful, wonderful question. Yeah. So I'm reminded of a story from Thich Nhat Hanh. He was talking about refugees from Vietnam who were trying to escape, and it was very perilous and treacherous, and they were at risk of being attacked by pirates. And there were stormy seas and all kinds of potential dangers and threats trying to escape to freedom. And he said that if there was one person who could find their center, who could maintain calm, who could bring this quality of presence and kindness, then it changed the experience. That it was that just like anxiety can be contagious, peace and presence can also be. So bringing your Buddha nature into this group, to this person, can have untold benefits. It's incredibly beneficial. Without trying, I mean, sometimes people who are really stirred up aren't really ready to hear advice or suggestions, but they can feel our presence, and it can make a huge difference. Welcome. So like to invite us to do a closing loving kindness circle, a virtual circle. So just letting our eyes close, and we can imagine, most of us have practiced at PIMC, some maybe not, but you could imagine being in a circle of loving, kind beings, the circle of beings who are gathered here this evening. And in this, we center and ground in this body that sits. And in the space of this loving, supportive circle, we can water the seeds of kindness for this being that we know so intimately. So if there's experiences of fear, anxiety, uncertainty, or other difficult mental emotional states, what would we like to wish for this being that we know so intimately? What kind of offering could we give? Or if there's some other affliction, some other struggle, some other difficulty, some confusion, some uncertainty, some anger, what would be the most helpful intention? So we can offer that. It could be, may I feel safe. May I be peaceful. Or may I be able to practice clear comprehension in my daily life activities. May I abide in well-being. May I be healthy. So maybe choosing one phrase, it doesn't have to be one of those, it could be one that works best for you, and just offering that to yourself, to your heart, and letting it radiate throughout your being. Perhaps repeating it a few times. So with the support of this circle, of this group, to wish yourself well. And then to extend these wishes of well-being to our community gathered here together this evening. Understanding some of the things that have been shared, that we're all in this together. So offering our kind intention, our wishes of well-being, may you be safe, to the persons that we're sharing this space with. May you be safe. May your health and safety be protected. May you abide in well-being. And may you also be able to practice clear comprehension. And may your practice deepen. May your practice flower in these challenging times. So extending our wishes of well-being around this virtual circle that we created here this evening, and then sending it out in all directions. We can send it to beings who are near and dear to us who couldn't join us this evening, and sending it to people that we know, people that we don't know. May all beings everywhere be free from all forms of suffering, be free from pain, be free from illness, be safe. And extending it to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west, to beings of the air, the land, and the waters, seen and unseen, may all beings everywhere be free from all forms of suffering. In our closing here, I'd like to invite us to raise our voices together in a chant. And the chant is one we, most of us probably know quite well. And the chant is, may all beings be happy. And we'll do that three times. And that's the happiness that's beyond gain and loss, the transcendent happiness that we're talking about. And then we'll close with the chant Sadhu, which means so be it. We'll do that one three times. May all beings be happy. May all beings be happy. May all beings be happy. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So I invite us to share all of the merits, all of the good things that come from our practice together with all beings. Anything that's not useful, may it simply be forgotten. So only good things come from our practice and teaching together this evening. So an invitation, if your eyes are closed, to let your eyes open and to take the love of this group back into your hearts fully, to take it with you this week into your daily life. I'd like to share briefly some announcements. First, just an invitation to check out both the website and the digest announcement that went out that as a place for making, a Dana contribution. So we're trying to keep PIMC going during these challenging times. So if you are in a place in your life where you can afford to make a contribution, it would really go a long ways to helping us to continue our mission here at PIMC to keep these practices going, to make this available for more people. So just a reminder to do that. Just occurred to me, I don't have to make the announcement about making sure you get your teacups into the dishwasher this evening. So, of course, that could be one of your clear comprehension activities at home. But this comes from Avi. All on-site volunteer activities are suspended at PIMC until the COVID-19 social distancing ends. There are 30-minute Dharma consults available by teachers at PIMC. Please contact Avi to schedule those. You can get books from Barking Dog Library online. So you can check those out through the website. Also be sure to check for the weekly digest that comes out on Monday for updates and information. So I think that's it. So it's been a pleasure to practice with you this evening. I share my deep wishes for safety and well-being for all of you folks. Take good care. Thanks. Thank you. Take, yeah. Yep. See you next week. Take care.